turn tonight to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. And as you turn, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects, and that is fishing. I love to fish. And I will say this, you know, the things have changed a little bit, because when the pastor would make a statement about me, I couldn't do a rebuttal because I wasn't able to preach except for when he asked me. So now we're turned around a little bit. So he told a story, one of the last times he preached while we were on vacation. He told a story about he and I went trout fishing. And there's a lot to that story. And one of the things to that story was he didn't tell you that, you know, we were fishing with worms and we had stopped by a store to get our fish bait. And we had decided, you know, I was going to go upstream and he was going to go downstream, and we were going to try to meet somewhere in the middle. Well, when he got headed down, he didn't tell you that his worms were rotten. They literally were rotten. So then we didn't have anything to do but to go back to that store and get him another thing of worms. He wouldn't dig none. He had to get the store-bought ones. So then he says that I came when I encountered the snake. Let me ask you a question. Who likes snakes? Is there anybody here that likes snakes? You know, I read that story about that python in Greensboro, and I'm like, who would want a snake? And I hope I don't offend anybody that's watching online, but look, I saw what the snake did to Adam and Eve, the serpent did, and I don't want no part of it. But anyway, he says that I come running past him. That is, you know, I'm not going to say that's not the truth. I'm just going to say it's not exactly correct. I'm going to be respectful of my pastor. But I'm not going to tell you no story. He was right. When I was trout fishing in this stream, there was a snake that rolled in front of my feet because we were wading in the water, and I didn't stop to shake his hand. I had caught a fish, and it was a stringer that was tied to one of my belt loops, and so he was hanging in the water where he could still be alive. And I will admit, when I saw that snake, he went one direction, I went the other. And the snake that I had on my belt loop had the ride of his life. He got beat up on the way up the creek. But as far as me passing him, I did not pass him. He's older, you know, so he just don't remember it quite right. But I was laid up in the back of his pickup because he had had that, he had a little Ford Ranger, I believe it was. And I put the tailgate down and I just sit there. I was waiting on him, and he said, he showed up and he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm not fishing with no snakes." And so we went to another place, and I spent more time looking at my feet than I did the fish. So, but anybody who wants to fish with the snakes, I snuck in I snuck in a pond that, it just had a lot of fish, and I didn't get permission, and just goes to show you how the Lord works. I saw a bunch of brim, and I was catching them. I was catching them like crazy. And I looked, and I was by myself, and I looked to my right, and there was a snake. And I looked to my left, and there was a snake. And I looked over behind me, and there was a snake. And then I thought, well, I'm not going to fish here. So I went around the pond, and when I found an opening to fish, there was another snake. And then I went around to the other side of the pond, and I seen another snake. And then I seen another one swimming across the water. And I thought, you know, you must be telling me I'm not wanted here. So I left and never went back to that pond. So God has a way of correcting us, doesn't he? But anyway, I just wanted to share the correct version of the story of the fishing. But this is a, really, there's a lot here in this passage of Scripture in John chapter 21. Yes, it is a story about fishing, but there's a whole lot more to it than that. And we've titled this message tonight, From Failure to Success. From Failure to Success. So let's begin reading with verse 1 of chapter 21. And the Bible says, After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into the ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered and said, No. And he saith unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And therefore the disciples, when the disciple whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fishing coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as they were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus said to them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said to them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? And Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together today. We thank you for the fellowship with one another, the good services that you've blessed us with, the good music. And now, Lord, we just pray that you'll help us tonight as we look into your word. Help us to realize, Lord, that we've all had failures, but also help us to realize that we can have success in life. And so, Father, I pray that you'll meet every need, every prayer request, every heart. If someone doesn't know you as Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that they'll speak to that heart. And, Lord, for those that are watching online so faithfully, Lord, I pray that you'll help them and strengthen them, and may they find encouragement in your word. And, Lord, we realize tonight that we could do nothing if it wasn't for you. So, Lord, we're asking for your help tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From failure to success. And I guess most of us, if we were to look back at our lives and look at the years gone by, there has been times in our life that we felt like there was something that we have failed at. And maybe you might say, I'm doing what I know to do, and it's the only thing I know to do, but yet it's not working. Success is not happening. You might even think to yourselves at times that nothing that I ever do seems like it's going to go my way, or go the way that I think it should. Peter had been outspoken. He had been very bold with his thoughts and with his words. He had been very bold when it comes to the Lord. And he made the statement in prior verses, he had made the statement that he would never, and I'm paraphrasing, but he had made the statement, I'll never turn my back on him. I'll never do that. But I've said many times, and I'll continue to say, that Jesus knows our heart. And Jesus knows we have good intentions. And as he knows our heart, he also knows the circumstances that what might change us. And so, yes, Peter denied Christ 3 times as Jesus said he would. And the cock crowed. Jesus was right in the line of Peter's sight, and he looked at Peter. And we've brought a message on that look, and I can't imagine that look that must have been there on Peter's mind and on his heart. And then I think of the love that Jesus, as he looked at him, the love that Jesus showed. So Jesus was right there when Peter did deny him. A question must be asked. Did he mean to fail? Did he mean to fall short? And I believe the answer is no. I believe that Peter, when he made the prediction or made the statement that he would not fail him and that he would not deny him, I believe that he meant that. But I believe when certain things happen in people's lives and certain circumstances, there are just some things that become overwhelming, and a lot of times we do things, or there's a possibility we could do things that we don't mean to do. And then once it happens, then it seems like there's failure on the horizon. And I'm convinced that given the right condition, given the right circumstances, we're everyone subject to that same failure. So we must beware and we must be on guard. Now, Peter again sees a time of failure. Not of denying Jesus, but I would call it failing at life. He knew what he needed to do. He knew how to do it, but he failed at life. And we look at fishing as nowadays, it, you know, there are people that make a living fishing, and they do a good job at it. But we look at fishing as kind of a pastime, something that we enjoy doing. And so when Peter says, I go fishing, it's important for us to note that the Bible says others followed him. And we must beware in the things that we do in life. There are people that are watching. There are people that are noting. There are people that are studying what we say and what we do. And I believe that this fishing trip is a far greater picture than just someone's pastime, just something that they wanted to do. And there's a Bible verse that I want us to think on as we look at this passage tonight, and it's in John chapter 15, verse 5. The Bible says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, ye can do nothing. And if you ever underline anything in your Bible, it's important to underline those latter words of John 15:5, where it says, "For without me ye can do nothing." For without me ye can do nothing. So I want us to look at this passage tonight for the time that we have before we go over and share in the Sundays. I want us to look at this passage and I want us to try to dissect it in our minds and see if we can relate, maybe not in fishing, but see if we can relate in life and how failure turned into success. Failure turned into success. Because I believe again that this was more than just a simple fishing trip. So verse 3 gives us a what I would call a night of fishing, where it says, "Simon Peter saith unto him, I go fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night caught nothing." They came up empty. They came up empty. Now, I don't know, and, you know, fishing trips are, I'm trying to how to say this and be kind. But if you're not careful, fishing trips could cause a person to not tell the truth. For instance, if you catch a fish and it's this big, by the time the story's over, it's this big. When someone says, and this is a good one, when they come up empty and someone says that's fishing, "Well, it didn't matter to me. I just wanted to be out here with God and see the beauty." Anybody who fishes want to catch fish. Being out in nature is just an added bonus. And what else are you going to say? You enjoy being outside? But I know from experience when my dad fished, he would fish for hours and hours and hours. And, you know, we went on Saturdays because, you know, I went to school during the week. He worked during the week and we went on Saturdays. And when fish wasn't biting, I was interested in cartoons. I mean, I was a Saturday morning cartoon, Scooby-Doo and Bugs Bunny and all those things. So he wanted to get up early, and I was torn because I really wanted to fish, but if they weren't biting, then I wanted to be doing something else. And one of the hardest things was he would look at me and he would say, "You about ready to go?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm ready." And then he would think he got a bite. And we'd stay for another 2 hours trying to catch that thing he thought was a fish. And so, you know, we all that fish want to catch fish. I mean, that's what our mission is. If we wanted to be out in nature, we would go sit on our porch or something. But we all want to fish. We all want to catch fish. And so, so there's no doubt that Peter and those that followed him fishing wanted to catch fish. They threw out their nets. They were experienced fishermen. They weren't amateurs. They weren't hopefuls. They weren't wannabes, but they were experienced fishermen. So they knew the ins and outs. They knew how to fish. They knew what time of day to fish. They knew how to drag their nets and they knew all these things, but they came up empty. And I'll say this, as an important thing, is no one likes failure. No one likes to come up short. No one likes failure. And when we start our day, no one gets up in the morning and says, "You know what? I feel like failing today." We may not all have the same ambitions. And we may not all have the same goals, but no one gets up in the morning and says, I want to fail today. So I don't think when they went out in this boat, and it says they immediately went out, I don't think they went out there just for a pastime. I think they wanted to catch fish. And I often wonder why they decided to go fishing. At this critical moment in their life, and it makes mention here in this passage of Scripture, it makes mention that when they saw Jesus after this experience here, and Jesus being on the shore, it makes mention that this was the third time that Jesus was seen after His resurrection. So I'm kind of thinking in my mind, why would they want to go fishing when things were so critical? There was a lot that was happening. There was a lot that was going on. There was, you know, they were struggling with their own beliefs and they were struggling in life, and they just decided to go fishing. So there's a couple of reasons that, it, you know, and you may have your own reasons. So I'm not saying there's a right or wrong, but there's a couple of reasons that, that I wonder if they might have gone fishing. And this is one. Peter was already feeling like he had let Christ down. And he did. He denied Him. Peter had already felt like a failure. So I wonder if when someone feels like a failure, then they're going to hurry up and try to find something to do that they're good at, to where they won't feel so much as a failure. To, it's almost like an emotional type thing. Most of you don't know, but I tinker around with a mountain dulcimer, and I love that instrument. And I was listening to a gentleman one time, and he said this. He said, if you're struggling on playing, and I struggle, but he said, if you're struggling on playing, he says, if you're struggling with a song, he said, never end your practice on something you don't know. He said, always go to something you do know, and therefore when you end your practice, you're ending on a positive note. Because it's a mental thing. And so you end things on a positive. So in my mind, one of the reasons, and this is just my idea here, one of the reasons that they decided to go fishing, and Peter was the instigator of this, is because Peter was still feeling pretty low. And he was still feeling like, I can't do anything right. And you got to keep in mind, it wasn't a simple failure. He denied Jesus Christ. It wasn't just, you know, I did something wrong, but Jesus told him, when you're going to deny me three times, you know, you're going to deny me before the cock crowed. And so if he did not deny him once, and that be it, yeah, he would have failed, but he wouldn't have failed him three times. So then the second time, and you can imagine how mentally and how a mind works, and we have to be careful and we have to guard our mind, because our mind can hurt us if we allow it to take control. And so on the third time, the cock crowed. So Peter needed something to uplift him. He needed something. Because of what his past was. And then I think another reason would be maybe he and the others needed time away from what was happening. So maybe possibly the others might use it as a time, hey, I just need to step away. I just need to step away. I need to gather my thoughts. And what better way to gather your thoughts is something positive that you know how to do. Maybe there needed to be success, and they needed to feel it pretty quickly. The Bible says, though, that they had fished all night and caught nothing. Now, how do you think they must have felt? How empty must they have felt? Because now they were doing something that they knew to do. Now they spent their livelihoods as fishermen, and they were experienced fishermen. And so now they come up empty. Yet again, there's failure. So not only did Peter deny Christ, and we know that Christ forgave him, but not only did he fail Christ, so you got that failure. Now he's going back to fishing, something he knows, and he come up short again. They caught nothing, the Bible says. So let me ask you a question. If we don't set out to fail, and now you're failing at something you know how to do, where do you go from here? Where do you go? It was new as far as following Christ. It was new to be a follower of Christ. But now he failed at something he knew to do that he was raised on doing. It's pretty empty, isn't it? Maybe they talked amongst themselves as they were in this boat. Maybe they talked amongst themselves, and maybe they were probably thinking, let's go over here. Let's try this. This spot looks good. And, so they rowed over there, or the sail, however they did it. They went over to this spot, and they're like, yeah, we caught fish here the last time we went fishing, and they came up empty. So they went from here to here, and maybe, I don't know, you hear a lot nowadays about fishing, especially if you're any good at it. You talk about the barometric pressure, and that does affect fishing. So maybe they talked amongst themselves, and they like, well, you know, maybe they're not biting because of this, or, you know, and we know they were using the net, but just for illustration, just follow me here. Maybe they were talking about this amongst themselves. Maybe they were talking about that. And they were talking all night, and they were still coming up empty. But I think there was a point in this fishing trip to where they quit talking. And there was a silence. And all they heard was the water hitting the ship, hitting the boat, the waves hitting the ship. And I think to themselves, what do we do? What do we do? Failure at every angle at life. What do you do? That's a lonely place when a person thinks that all they do is fail. That's a lonely place. But how did they go fishing? How did they go? I'm going to answer that in just a few moments. Now it comes to the hour of decision. In verse 4, the Bible says, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore by the disciples," and they didn't know who he was. They didn't know it was Christ. And verse 5 says, "Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat?" Now, that's almost, when someone asks you, when you're the one that's supposed to be bringing the fish, and someone asks you, did you catch anything? There's two answers you give. If you catch a lot, then you really don't want to brag about it. And I'm speaking as a fisherman. You don't really want to brag about it because they're going to find your spots. But then if you don't catch anything, then you really don't want to say anything there because they're going to look on you at, you know, they're going to look at you like, well, you don't know what you're doing. So for them to say no, I believe that that was a frustrating no. I believe it was one of them frustrating no's that says, no, we didn't catch any. Our boat would be full if we did. But they said no. Now you got to keep in mind, they didn't know who was asking the question. They didn't know it was Christ that was asking the question. So they said no. So here's the hour of decision, the moment of decision. So then he says to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. Now, this is the hour of decision. This is the difference between success and failure. Because if we try to do things on our own without the help of the Lord, yes, there's going to be failure. But when we follow the leadership of the Lord, and He'll take our life, as messed up as our life can be, and as many failures as we have in life, when He takes our life, then He can do something with it. Because Peter was a prime example that God used in a mighty way. And so their moment of decision is casting out that net. It was the wrong time of day because most of the fishing was done at night. It was the wrong time of day. They were already tired. They were already wore out. They were already thinking that they were failures. So they first had to admit that they were a failure. They had to tell Him no. And they had to admit that they were defeated. And as I mentioned before, no one likes failures. No one likes to admit it. And so they had to admit in this hour of decision, they had to admit we couldn't do anything. We couldn't do anything. The fish weren't biting. And now the moment of decision was two things. They had to listen and they had to obey. They did that when Jesus said, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. And the Bible says they cast therefore and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. They had to listen and they had to follow. Jesus was now a part of their fishing trip. He was now a part of their fishing trip. And I'd like to take it one step further. Jesus was now a part of their life. He was now a part of their life. They were already followers, but now He was a part of their life. He was a part of their actions. He was a part of doing what, and it was something they already knew how to do. But we just saw how that their own efforts, their own things were going to come up short. But it wasn't until Jesus became a part of things and Jesus told them what to do and they did it that the difference were made. Jesus was a part of their fishing trip. Jesus was now giving them direction. He was now giving them direction. The first time that I ever went fishing with Charlene's dad, we went to Bugs Island. And we stopped in 58. It was right there close to South Boston, and we stopped and got breakfast. And so we ordered our breakfast. I think it was a Hardee's, if I'm not mistaken. And we bowed our heads to pray. And he prayed. And he blessed our food. But then he said, Lord, if it be something to the effect, if it be your will, we'd like to catch some fish today. And so I kind of peeked at him when he was praying. I'm like, wow, this is good. And so I wanted to ask him because he was showing me around Bugs Island. That's the first time I'd ever been. He was showing me around, and I wanted to ask him, is this one of the places that the Lord showed you? But, you know, we caught a few fish, and he thanked God for that. And, you know, that's how we need to do life.
Amen.
We need to pray about things, and we need to thank Him for success. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. So many times we try to do things within our own merit. We try to do things within our own ability. But I'll stand here tonight and tell you, we're always going to fall short if we try to do things on our own. We need His help. And that's where failure becomes success. And He needs to be 100% a part of our life. In everything that we do, 100% a part of our life. Not just the times that we want Him a part of it, not just the times when we feel successful or when we feel like things are going okay, then where you start getting a little closer to Him. No, He needs to be a part of our failures. He needs to be a part of our life when we fall short, because He already knows we're going to do it. He knew Peter was going to do it, and He knows we're going to do it. And so He needs to be a part of any part of our life, and we don't need to turn on Him. But we need to turn to Him. And that's what they did. When they cast their nets on the right side of the ship, He gave them more than they could have caught on their own. Because they were amazed that the net didn't break. And it even gives you a count of how many fish there were. Now, I will say this tonight, that me and the preacher had a very successful fishing trip to Bugs Island, and we caught 114 crappie. That was a very successful fishing trip. And we went back to my house, and we spent half the night cleaning them. But it was successful. But, so we do have, you know, all of our trips aren't bad. I don't know what y'all, you know. They're actually good trips sometimes. But my point is, they did two things. They listened and they followed. And there's a song that we sing in our hymn book that says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus." Jesus was now on the scene, and no one but Jesus can turn our failures into success. Because there's something to note. They were on the same fishing trip that they started on. That means He can turn our failures into success, because it was the same trip. Oh, they were ready to give up, and they were ready to bring their nets in and get them washed and all those things. They were ready. But He turned failure into success. They had to listen. They had to do. And Jesus did the rest. If we are missing any part of that three-part equation, we'll never get out of that failure. We must listen. We must do. And let Jesus do the rest. Notice there was understanding, because the Bible says in verse 7, Peter and the one that Jesus loved, Peter jumps out and he goes running to him. And the Bible says, "The disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter," he said to Peter, I think it's important for us to note, Peter was the center of this trip, because Peter was the one that said, "Hey, I'm going fishing," and the rest followed. But he was the one that said, "Peter, guess who it is? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the Lord that made a difference. It's the Lord that made a difference in our lives. It's the Lord that took a failure into success. It's the Lord that helps us with our life." So Peter jumps out of the boat and he starts running. And the others came with a ship full of fish. They caught a lot of fish because Jesus was in it. We can have success if Jesus is in it. And then there was an invitation. It wasn't over. It wasn't just they caught a bunch of fish, but there was an invitation. He tells him in verse 10, bring the fish which we have now, which ye have now caught. And then he says in verse 12, come and dine. What an invitation. What an invitation. I'm going to close with verse 13. And verse 13 says, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and the fish likewise. He says, bring me the meat. Bring me what you've caught. Come and sit down and dine. And Jesus served it to them. What a loving Savior.
Amen.
We have. We need Jesus every day of our life. We need Jesus in every success and in every failure. We need Jesus. We must listen and we must do and allow Jesus to do the rest. You know, that's why I believe that this was more than just a fishing trip. I believe it was a life lesson. And I think that sometimes God allows us to go through things in life for life lessons. Because He wants us to be close to Him. He wants us to grow with Him. And He wants us to be successful. And He can take our disappointments, and He can take our failures, and He can take our struggles, and He can turn them into success. The problem is, we think success is a certain thing. We think success, it has to be a certain thing. I think that they would have been happy with 50 fish. And they would have felt like they were successful. But it took an empty net for them to find real success. So I think sometimes it takes failure for us to find real success. And if we're honest with ourselves, we, everyone tonight, whether you're watching online or whether you're here in the sanctuary, we have experienced failure. But what are we going to do with that failure? Listen and do, and Jesus will do the rest. From failure to success. What an invitation they had to come and dine, and He giveth them. Let's pray tonight. Father, Lord, I don't know what struggles we have in life that we each one carry. I know my struggles. I know my failures. I know the things that I didn't do maybe the way that you wanted me to. And Father, you know each heart just like you knew Peter's heart and the others. But I also know that through this passage of Scripture, you turned a bad day. You turned a failed life and you turned it around and invited them to come and sit down with you. You told them what to do and they had to act on it. Lord, they could have chose not to throw the net out. And I believe they would have went to shore empty. But they threw the net out. They listened. And what a massive net of fish that you gave. And Lord, I believe that you can take a failed life and turn it into something. And Father, I pray that there's someone here tonight that just needs to come and talk. Your invitation is there. If they need to just come and talk to you and give you everything, Lord, I pray that they'll come. But we must have to listen, and we have to do. We have to do those two things, Lord, before we'll find success in life. So, Father, I pray that you'll meet every need. If there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, speak to that heart. But, Lord, you know the hearts of every person, even those that are watching. You know those hearts. Help them, Lord, even though as we're having an invitation here, they too can pray and seek you and find success in life by just simply listening and doing. So, Father, we turn this invitation over to you. As we sing, help us to be willing to come. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name, that you will get the glory in our successes. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. What number?